a snippet of Pastor Peter Kasirivu. Last time he was here was 2019, and he preached an amazing message, and we've had the Mangwaza Children's Choir here from his church and his ministry. He's planted over 650 churches and had over 15,000 children sponsored through their orphanages and their programs. They've got a table up the back there, which we want you to have a look at after the service. But yesterday on the radio, I found a snippet when I interviewed Pastor Peter for History Makers Radio. And we were at West End having lunch, and you could hear the cars going by. And I said, "How did you come to know Jesus?" And he shared how he came to know the Lord as a young man. And he's a bold preacher of the gospel. And, you know, there's something about African preachers that us Australians need to get a hold of. They've got a fire in their belly. They've got an anointing. And, you know, they'll have all-night prayer meetings in Africa. They'll start at like 7 o'clock and go till sunrise, you know. Here in Australia, we'll have like a one-hour prayer meeting and we'll be ready for a cuppa, you know. We need to be learning from our African brothers and sisters because they're full of zeal. And the Bible says, never be lacking in zeal. Amen. So these guys are fired up. We're really blessed to have them here today. Pastor Peter is part of Africa Renewal Ministries, and he's going to share a bit about what he's doing today. Please stand to your feet and give a massive welcome to Pastor Peter Kasirivu.
Thank you, my brother. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Good morning, church. Before I share anything, we have got a video that will introduce you to our ministry. Thank you so very much for welcoming us here, Pastor Matt and the team. Let's watch the video.
Welcome to Uganda. Welcome to Africa Renewal Ministries. We are so excited that you are visiting us to be part of the beautiful transformation stories. Please feel at home. God blessed Uganda with a lot of beautiful things like the fresh waters from Lake Victoria, the fertile soils that produce good food like matoke, beautiful mountains and wildlife, plus so many other wonderful nature. The journey of Africa Renewal Ministries was started by Pastor Peter Kasirivu when God called him to Gawa Village. This little fishing village was faced by a lot of poverty and many children had never gone to school. His desire was to see families transformed through the gospel and children's lives improved through education and knowing Christ. As a ministry, we have seen our lives transformed through our three areas of engagement. The first one is we embrace the vulnerable children. This has been possible with your support in our programs like Child Sponsorship that supports the vulnerable children with education and discipleship, Loving Hearts Babies Home that takes care of the abandoned babies, the Early Childhood Development Program that feeds the malnourished children, and Bethany Village that provides a home, a school, a clinic, and a church to the homeless children. Two, equipping leaders. John Quincy Adams said that if your actions inspire others to dream more, learn more, do more, and become more, then you are a leader. Our leadership development programs, like the Next Generation Leadership Program, it nurtures and supports university students. The Transformational Leadership Program equips high school graduates to become transformational agents. The Mobile Bible School provides a basic training to rural pastors. And lastly, Africa Renewal University is committed to teaching a generation of Christian leaders that will change lives. Finally, our Community Outreach Department reaches out to different communities through support from friends all over the world. Our programs like Mercy Network partners with the local churches to reach out to vulnerable families within their communities with monthly food packs and discipleship. Wells Medical Center and Renewal Healthcare provide affordable medical services to people and provide medical assistance to several communities respectively. And our Special Projects Department identifies several needs and partners with donors to improve lives in different communities, while the Sustainability Program trains and provides financial assistance to vulnerable and struggling people in the community by helping them start income-generating projects. Over the years, we have seen transformation and hope brought in the lives of those we serve. 15,000 plus children have passed through our Child Development Program, 10,000 plus leaders have been equipped, and over 1 million lives have been impacted through our community outreach programs. Thank you for allowing God use you as we bring hope and transformation.
Good morning again. It's exciting. I traveled with Pastor Stephen. Pastor Stephen, do you mind standing up and... Stephen leads our program, the child care program, where we do all the children's stuff that you've just seen. It's such a blessing for us to be here. Pastor Matt, thank you again for opening this beautiful house for us to be able to share the Word of God. I was here 2019. We had a very, very good time. And of course, the world was closed. And during that time, as you all know, it was very, very difficult. Many people were starving because of the COVID lockdown. But again, many, many Australian friends, you responded to actually help our people through that very difficult season of struggle. We also appreciate many, many of you who sponsor children through our program. And even as Pastor Matt has said, at the end of the service, you have the opportunity to sign up and sponsor and take care of one of our kids. We have very many children who need someone to come alongside them and support them. We actually have another little video at the end of the service. Good morning, church. Good morning. It's exciting. Your worship is amazing. It's amazing. Oh, my goodness. I just wanted to stay and enjoy. God so much bless you for what you're doing. We are so excited to be here again. We are cold. Actually, I feel very cold every time I go out, but my heart is warm because of the hospitality that we're experiencing here. Amen. We are going to share the Word of God, and the message that we have for us this day is found in the book of Zechariah, chapter 4. Please, let's go to Zechariah, chapter 4. And this is a beautiful message that I believe God has for us today as the church. And the title of my message is that all great things come from humble beginnings. All great things come from humble beginnings. I've been so excited to hear about the people who are going out to plant churches, ministry that are beginning. That's how big things begin. Zechariah chapter 4, if you don't mind, we are going to read verse 1 to 10. Please, let's go there. And the angel who talked with me came again and woke me, like a man who is awakened out of sleep. And he said to me, "What do you see?" I said, "I see, and behold, a lampstand all of gold with a bowl on the top of it and seven lamps on it with seven lips on each of the lamps that are on the top of it." Verse 3, "And there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left." Verse 4, "And I said to the angel who talked to me, 'What are these, my Lord?' Then the Lord who talked with me answered and said to me, 'Do you not know what these are?' I said, 'No, my Lord.' Then he said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, 'Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit,' says the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. 'Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit,' says the Lord of hosts." Can you say, "Not by might"? Not by my power, but by his power. So verse 7, "Who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Who shall become plain? You shall become plain, and he shall bring forth the top stone on the shout of grace, grace to it." Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "The hand of the Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For whoever has despised the day of small beginnings shall rejoice and shall see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. These seven are the eyes of the Lord, which range through the whole earth." Father, we pray that you open our hearts, that we'll be able to hear what you have for us today as the church. Lord, you have a message for us. I pray that you speak to each and every one of us, because you're God who speaks. I pray that you will encourage these, your people. I pray that you minister to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a portion that I believe that all of you have read over the years. There are specific verses that have touched you, I know. But it's a very interesting thing to read the Word of God in its context. It's very exciting. Now, every one of you probably have heard about this man, Zerubbabel. He was a governor who was sent from exile to come back to Israel to actually lead. And he happens to be one of those men that God used to rebuild the temple. And there's a message for us today as a church, today as individuals. I believe that God has a message for you as an individual for the things that God wants you to do in life, because God has a big plan for each one of us. But also I believe that God has a plan for you as a church. God has a plan for you as the Church of Jesus Christ in this amazing country of Australia. Now, the first statement that I have for us today is that all great things start small. All great things begin small. Now, many times when we come to a place like this and you come from a certain town, you say, oh, I thank God for this church. I believe they started there. No, every big thing starts small. Every big thing starts small. Whenever we read about some big men in the Word of God, we also wonder, how did they get to know? How did they get to do and to be what they do? When you see famous people, that's what you always ask. You think that they start where they are now, but we all start somewhere small. You know, whenever we think about a man like David, for example, we think about David killing Goliath. You remember he was around 17 years? You remember? When you think about him, you say, oh, this boy was very, very courageous. But yet, before he was known as the killer of Goliath, this young man was in the bush. He started by killing maybe small foxes, and then he ended up killing bears, and then he ended up killing lions. So by the time he faced Goliath, he had been built in those places where no one ever knew about him. When we think about this man called Paul, you say, oh, what a courageous man. But you know what? Paul began somewhere. He was discouraged that even at one time he had to run back to his hometown and just hide away because people wanted to kill him. So, but when you read about Paul, you say, what a courageous man. So that's why the Bible says, do not despise days of small beginnings. Amen. Do not despise yourself for starting small in whatever God calls you to. And do not fear to start, because God wants us to do great things for him. But start where you are. So don't look down on humble beginnings. Don't be discouraged to start, because God wants to work through your life. Now, why does God want us to start small? You know, this is what I found, is that before anyone knows you, God wants to shape your life. It is where character is formed before anyone knows you. It is in those times when no one knows about you that skills are developed in your life. It is when no one knows you that you get to know God intimately. Because when you start being so famous and big, you know, you don't have that kind of time. But it's better for you to start small. You know, what I found is in those times that God brings people your way who will actually lead you to find God. You know, you've seen the video which is showing about our ministry. When you come and see what God has done over the years, you say, oh, how did they start? But you know, our church, Gabba Community Church, started with 15 people. in a very tiny little village called Gaba, which is a fishing village. Our tiny little building was 30 feet by 20 feet by 30 feet. We had a papyrus roof on top of our building. It was so difficult to start, and life was very hard. We had a lot of spiritual warfare. Witchcraft was very, very, very common. Persecution was there. But, you know, this small group of people said, we are here to stay. God has called us to change the community. And today we look back and say, look at what God has done. So friends, even as New Hope, I know that God has given you a big vision for this land. Do not fear to start, because God is up to something big. Can I hear an amen from you? Praise the Lord. Now, there's a second statement that I have for us. Do not fear to face your mountain. Don't fear to start, but the next one is, do not fear to face your mountain. Now, verse 7, the Bible says, who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become plain. Now, another version says, nothing, not even a mountain, will stand in Zerubbabel's way. It will become level, plain before him. You know, every time God calls you to something, I have found that God is interesting. He never calls us to small things. Now, he calls us to begin small, but he has never called us to small things. Amen? You know, some of you have just taken a marathon of 10 kilometers. Is it 10 miles or 10 kilometers? I don't know how you did it. But it was a mountain this morning, but you did it to the glory of God. Can I hear an amen? Who are you, great mountain, before Zerubbabel? God has never called us for small things. He calls us for big things because he is God. The great missionary called William Carey once said that we should expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. Why? Because we are in business with God. And our God is a big God. He's all powerful. He has chosen to change the world through us, his people. As you look at the mountain ahead, just remember, God is bigger than your mountain. Hallelujah. Someone once said that if you want to do small and easy things, then you don't need the help of God. Amen? If you can do it, then you don't need God. But God always will call you for things you cannot afford, because he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the silver and the gold. God will ask you to do challenging things, and you look at your gifts and say, I'm not gifted enough. And he says, you are the man that I need. Why? Because when you start doing it and you will see success, you realize, you know what? It was not me. It was actually God. So he wants you to dare to believe that he's able to do those things through you. Now, church, there are three things that I want to say when we're thinking about mountains. For us as the body of Christ, I would like us to realize that God has given us the mountain of our nation and the mountain of our world. You know, I was talking to Mark. Mark is here. Where is Mark? Yeah, Mark is at the back. He's waving. Mark is at the back. And he was telling me about your country and said that your country is becoming a post-Christian nation. Is that true? So people are quickly going away from the faith that this nation was formed. People no longer believe in the God that they believed in. Our children have abandoned the faith that we shared with them. So The enemy has a huge agenda for this nation. Unbiblical standards of the family, the moral standards of our society have actually gone down. There is an agenda that the enemy has planned for your kids. And he's using the media, he's using TV, he's using radio to draw them away from God. The churches that we used to honor, the mainline churches, many of them have actually turned very liberal. They've decided to throw away the Bible that they were founded with. The old evangelical churches, which were so powerful and on fire for God, have started a journey of slumber. There's scandal upon scandal upon scandal in the church. So this is a mountain for new hope today. God is saying, I have placed you in this nation at this time in the history of this country that you will be a light in the midst of darkness, that you'll be salt in this land. God is saying you have a message and you don't need to keep quiet about that message. Praise be to God. God is saying we cannot surrender this nation to the enemy. We should stand up for what we believe. God is still a God of revival. He will bring life back to this land. I believe it. I trust that God wants to use you. Can we get an amen from God's people? Praise the Lord. So you have a mission for this nation, but also have a mission for this part of the world. But also, there's a mountain for you as a local church in this city, in this part of the city. So there's a national call, but also there is a specific call. The Lord has placed you in this city at this time. You are a leading church in this city. You're a multinational church. You're a multicultural church. Praise be to God. You have an apostolic heritage. Glory be to God. You are leading church here in this community. And God has placed a burden in your leadership about what you need to do for this church, for this community. So please, that mountain you will climb. Why? Because God is on your side and God wants to use you. So you have a city to lead. You have a nation to lead. You are a voice and you should not keep quiet as a church. But also there is an individual mountain. The day you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, He called you. Praise be to God. He called you. You may say, no, I'm not a pastor. Yes, you are called of God. You say, I don't have the giftings. He said, no, you don't mind. I am going to gift you for the things that I have called you. You know, the Bible says that I know you by name. Before you were born, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you and I assigned you and I appointed you. Every one of you has a calling. Praise be to God. You may say, no, me, I'm a businessman. That's a calling, my friend. You may say, I'm a teacher. You have an assignment as a teacher. You may say, I'm a medical person. Every one of us has got that mountain that God is calling you to. Now, friends, for Zerubbabel, the mountain was to build the temple. For Moses, he had a task to take God's people out of Egypt to the promised land. Amen? To Caleb, an old man. Some of you are saying, I'm too old. Caleb at 85, he says to Joshua, give me my mountain. Praise be to God. Friends, you're not too old to serve God. You're not too young to serve God. To Elijah, his mountain was to show Ahab that there is a God who answers with fire. For Mary, that young teenager, God had a calling for Mary to deliver baby Jesus to the world. Every one of you has got that mountain. So the question is, what is your mountain? And God says, I know the plans that I have for you. In other words, I have an assignment for you. It is that little mountain. It's that big mountain. It's that thing that you say, God, what are you saying? It is that burden that God puts on your heart. It is that need that you see. And you say, I need to respond to that need. Very many years ago, the Lord calls me. As a young man, I was part of a church, a beautiful church. It was the biggest Pentecostal church in the city of Kampala. I was the outreach coordinator. And God speaks to me and says, I want you to go to that little village called Gaba. And I struggled with God because I said, you know what? I don't want to go there. Why? Because it is a fishing village. Friends, I love to eat fish. I hate the smell of fish. So I said, God, I don't think I can build a future in this community. But God was saying, this is where I'm calling you. After struggling with God, I said, yes, I will go. Now, friends, this fishing village was very, very poor. It was so poor. And we struggled because there was nothing. But you know what? That was my assignment. And I look back 30 years later, and I'm glad that I responded because that was my mountain. Praise be to God. That little church, thank you. That little church has given birth to hundreds and hundreds of churches. A ministry that has touched the rest of the nation. But it took us to take that little step and say, I will be there. Here I am, I will go. I will respond to that calling. And I know that many of you are here and you say, you know what? I will just go and do some work and put in my little tithe and life will be okay. Friends, there's something more you can do to serve your God. Even in that place of work, may God challenge you and encourage you. So what is your mountain? To some of you, it is to teach those kids in a public school in such a way that they will know that they are not a product of evolution, but they are created by God. And God has a big plan for them. To some of others, some of you, you are a businessman. You are a businessman. And God says, I want you to be the shepherd of the people that are under your employment. And to some of you, God is saying, I want you to make a lot of money and be a giver in the house. That missions that I'm hearing about, which is taking you to the nation, that you will be a funder of missions. Can I hear an amen from you? To some others, God has called you to plant churches. Glory be to God. You know, our church is a church planting machine. We just plant churches. Glory be to God. So many times, young men would come to church and, you know, I want pastor to give me a microphone to preach. I say, praise the Lord, I can. But you know what? There are thousands of people who have never known Jesus. So every time I tell you, can you pray? Where is God telling you? Where is God sending you? And I'm here to say this, that many of them responded. I'm reminded of one young man. His name is called Elisha. He's like this. He's very short, but he's a fireball. He was our discipleship pastor. And, you know, he was ready to serve God with us. And we had this community. It's in the Western Uganda. And I felt that God is calling us to plant a church. So there's one man that we wanted to send, but this young man had issues. Then one time I go to Elisha and I say, Elisha, do you mind helping us as we plant a church there? He said, Pastor, do you think I am able? I say, yes, you can. So I told him, you know what? Why don't you commit yourself to being there for at least 6 months? If things don't work out, you please come back home. Today, 17 years later, Elisha is the pastor of an 800-member church in that tiny little town. But not only that, that church has planted churches that are planted churches that are planted churches. Today, we have 70 churches in that whole region of Uganda because one young man got out of that bench and said, I'm going to go. And when he went there, he has never come back. He keeps going to the glory of God. Can I hear an amen from you? Praise be to God. So God has planned a mountain for you. My prayer is that you will rise up and stand up and serve your God. So I pray that the Zerubbabels of this house will arise. I pray that you will tackle that mountain. And the way you tackle that mountain is by taking that one step. Glory be to God. That one step. I have so many stories, but one of them is the story of COVID. Oh my goodness. COVID was COVID, wasn't it? Yes, it was. So in Uganda, when COVID hit, you know, before actually we even ever had one case of COVID, the country closed and closed totally. One day we woke up and the president said, no more planes coming to Uganda and no more planes leaving Uganda. He said, no more church. He said, you can't even drive. So we couldn't even drive from here, just next door. So that became a very big problem. Because in the country where I live, people live from hand to mouth. It's very, very difficult. It was tough. So I'm here at home, and I said, what do we do? Because the churches are closed down. So I had to wake up and realize that, you know what? I need to go and start doing media for the church. So I would walk. My house is about 2 miles from the church. So I would walk to church and we do some recording. We go on social media. Then we said, oh, we need to do something. We need to get our program on TV. So then we had to contact a TV and radio station and say, can we send a message there? So we had to do that for our TV program. And then I realized that because people live from hand to mouth, people are going to begin starving. So I said, we need to do something about it. We have people starving. Life is hard. So we had to communicate with all our people and said, if you have some extra food, please send it to the church. Now, how do they send it to the church? In Uganda, we have got motorcycle taxis. So they would put the food there and send it to the church. And then people would call the church. And then we would send these little motorcycles to send the food to them. But later on, we realized that the need is bigger than what we think. So I said, Lord, what do we do? So I started writing to all my friends and I said, you guys, you need to help us. And many of you Australians began to help us. From what we started, that tiny little project ended up with us raising thousands of dollars. And at the end of the first pandemic lockdown, we had actually fed 250,000 people around the country. Now, friends, this is what I found. If you do nothing, nothing will happen. If you decide to say it is too big, I will not act, nothing will happen. But if you open your mouth and say, let me do something about it, God has a way of gathering people, gathering resources, and together we can make a change in the world. Praise be to God. Verse 6, then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Not by might, not by power, but it is by the spirit of the living God. I want you to say it together, not by might. Not by my power, but by your spirit. Praise be to God. That's the beauty of being a Christian. Hallelujah. That the things that God calls me to do, I am powerless to do, but He's powerful enough to do those things. That the things that I'm not able to do, He has the ability to do them through my life. Where I am weak, He is very strong. Where I'm powerless, He has all the power. Where I don't have the gifting, He will enable me to do. So friends, God is calling the church in Australia to realize that there's such great power inside of us. And that power is not our power. It is the power of the Spirit of God. So this should bring us great relief to know that the task that God has called us to do is not our task, but it is His task. That the ability to accomplish these things, it is by Him working through us. It is by the power of the Spirit of God. Oh my goodness. His Spirit is available. But not only when you ask, but it is when you are available. Can you avail yourself, children of God? Hallelujah. Now, there is something very interesting about this portion too. Who are you, verse 7, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become plain, and it shall bring forth the top stone amidst shouts of grace, grace, grace to it. Now, this is the English Standard Version. Uses the word grace. So, not by power, but also it says by grace. Can you say grace? The word grace means the unmerited favor of God. So, it's not only the power of God, but also the grace of God. It's not what I am able to do, but what He's able to do through me. The grace of God, the favor of God. So the things that God has called us to do, He has actually put His favor upon our lives. And that's what we call grace. So friends, so what should we do? Not by might, not by power. So it means that we as Christians, we need to use the greatest weapon God has put in our hands. And that's the weapon of prayer. The weapon of prayer. Because when we go to prayer, we access the power that God has put on the planet to work through us. Praise be to God. It is going to God and say, God, you have called me to start this project. You have called me to do this ministry. And God will do it. Proverbs, actually, I think Pastor Chris is the one who mentioned Proverbs 16:3 today. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish you. So God wants us to commit everything to God. Pray and seek God until God will be found in you. Prayer is the greatest strength that the world, so that the church has for us to change the world. So friends, and for you as a church, will you bathe your ministry in prayer? Praise be to God. Prayer will help you to discern God's will for the next steps in your life. Prayer is where you invite God to take the lead and you're not the leader. Prayer is committing the next steps to God in the way that God has called you to go. May God make us men and women of prayer. Are you still there? Now, there is something interesting about this portion of Scripture. In verse 10, the Bible says, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in the hands of Zerubbabel. Okay? So we always stop on the other part, on the first part. Do not despise the small beginnings. But there is the second part to that verse. For the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. I love that, don't you? And the statement I have for us is this. Our actions please the Lord. Amen. Today, if you did not take a team to do that marathon, if no one came up with the idea, let's do a run that we raise money to feed the poor, those people would go without food. God rejoices when His people rise up and take steps of faith. What I found is that God does not shout. Have you realized it? He just puts an idea in your heart and says, maybe you need to do something about it. That's what He does. He doesn't force you, but He gives you that idea. But the Bible says he rejoices when you take a step and act on what he says. The Bible calls our faith a rest. Means movement. It is called an offensive warfare. It is going by faith. The Great Commission is a mission to move and change the world. And faith without action is never faith. It is wishful thinking. Taking action is obedience. We should take action. Why? Because if we do not do this, who else will do it? There is a great need for the Christians to stop praying and thinking and wishing to praying and acting. Amen. It is high time believers moved. Because when you move, God moves. Do you want people to be saved? Go and ask them whether they want to be saved. Share the gospel. Hallelujah. Do you want God to act? Do it. Do you want God to heal people? Lay your hands on people and say, in the name of Jesus. But you say, I wish God heals them. He says, okay, you will stop. You will end there just wishing. May God get Christians moving. Glory be to God. So when you act, the Lord is pleased. So church, it is time to move. Today, you are standing in a place of heritage. I was reading a little bit of your history. People moved from the Western world and they traveled on those little wooden ships and they came thousands of miles, not knowing where they went, and they ended up here, and a nation was formed. Praise be to God. There are revivalists who came to this country and preached the gospel, and you are great-grandchildren of those people because someone took action. In all our lives, we have had testimonies of people who have come to know because someone shared the message with them. I pray that everyone who is seated here will move with the vision that God has put on your pastor. It's a big vision and sometimes it's frightening, but God is calling us for big things. Hallelujah. Do it to the glory of God. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with a small step. Pick up the courage and start. So I pray that God will bless you as you do what you do. I pray that you sign up to go on that mission trip whenever those doors open. I pray that you open your home for a small group. I pray that you sign up to serve the poor in your community. I pray you say, I will invest my money in the things that God has called up church to be involved in. I pray that God will use your life, who despise the days of small beginnings. May the good Lord bless you. Amen. Father, I praise you for giving me the opportunity to share this message with these, your children. Lord Jesus, I know that you are stirring our faith, especially after this COVID lockdown, that we will be the church that changes the world. I pray that every one of us will stand and move, that will pray and act on the conviction that will put in our hearts. That, Lord, we'll hear what the Lord is speaking to our pastor and we say, we will go there. I pray, even for those who came and they don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they say, I've heard the message. I want to move and follow Jesus. Minister to these, your people, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you so much, Pastor Peter. What an inspirational mission that you have. And, you know, I really believe that, you know, the anointing that's on you, you're passing that on to us today. Because I believe that, you know, the fruit that you've seen in your ministry, we need to see that here in Australia. We need to be a church planting movement. We need to reach out to the poor and the homeless like you do. We need to be training up and equipping leaders like you've been doing. And we want to receive that word today. We want to collect up a love offering now to bless this wonderful mission that we're partnering with. And then we are going to open the altar for prayer. If you want to get some prayer, both of our African pastors, brothers, are going to be praying for people today. But as we prepare to collect the offering, let's just pray. Father, we thank you for this inspirational word today. We receive it, Lord God. And Lord, as we sow this seed in this love offering, we pray you'll multiply it and it will impact many people in Kampala and Uganda and Gaba, all over Africa, Lord God. We just pray that you'll continue to stretch out their tent pegs and enlarge their territory. So we bless them in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Well, God bless you as you give. And just be